Hello there, everybody. This is Mel Allen. I guess you all know how it is when a bunch of sports personalities get together. They just have a real old-fashioned Cracker Barrel session. In the old days, they'd sit around the hot stove and match anecdotes and stories. Of course, this isn't the time of year for hot stoves, at least not everywhere. But right now, Babe Didrikson Zaharias and a few of her friends have gotten together on the sun porch of the Babe's Country Club in Tampa, Florida. I don't mind telling you, I wish I was able to be with them. But my schedule being what it is, well, it was just impossible at the time. Now, to get in on the session myself, I have a little story I want to tell about Babe Didrikson Zaharias. It seems that when the Babe won the British Women's Championship, and I think that's when it was, some reporters came up to her and they asked how come a girl could get so much distance into a drive. Well, the Babe, she always was a straight shooter, you know, and a frank, wonderful person. Babe just said, well, I'll just hitch up my girl and let fly. How about that? I guess everybody knows Babe Didrikson Zaharias is the most amazing woman athlete of all time. I hope I don't give her age away, but back in the 1932 Olympics, she broke four world records in track and field meets, and that's a feat that'll probably stand in the record books forever. Actually, even though we know her best for her golf, the Babe didn't start golf till long after she was a sports star in other fields. As I remember, she took up golf at the insistence of Grantland Rice. But she'll have some more to say about that herself, I know. You're going to enjoy listening in on this Cracker Barrel session, friends. And Babe and her friends are getting together for a real good cause, you know, for the American Cancer Society. There'll be a lot of good baseball talk and talk about golf, too. So, Babe, please accept my apologies for not being down there with you and give my best to Al Lopez and you old Blackwell, will you? Okay, friends, my good friend Milt Spencer is all set to get the session underway, and thanks for letting me join you. Milt?
We invite you to join for a special broadcast featuring America's greatest woman athlete, Babe Didrikson Zaharias. This program is being brought to you by this station in cooperation with your unit of the American Cancer Society. And now, here is Babe Didrikson Zaharias.
Hello there. I want you to meet some friends of mine. First, Mr. Al Lopez, manager of the Cleveland Indians.
Hello, Babe. It's nice to be here for such a wonderful cause. And I think that I can speak for baseball freely and say that it's behind this cause 100% just as much as I am.
Thank you very much, Al. And now we have Ewell Blackwell, pitcher of the New York Yankees.
Thank you very much, Babe, and it's a real pleasure to be here and for the American Cancer Society. As you know, my mother had the same operation as you did.
I know, and I got an awfully nice letter from your mother, Ewell, and it was very comforting to me for her to tell me all about her operation, which was the same as mine, and it was also nice talking with you, and you helped me a lot on it. Well, I guess, friends, you can tell from my guests that we're going to have ourselves a sports program. Now, I want to start with Al Lopez. And Al, I've always wanted to know what a manager thinks when he's in a tough spot and what goes through his mind when he has to make a fast decision. And I think you're the most capable manager that I know of to tell me and Ewell and all of us and all the people just what really goes through a manager's mind.
Well, Babe, you already start off with a real tough one right away.
I know.
Well, Babe, I sit on the bench, and I was saying a few minutes ago that I'd much rather catch a ball game any time than to have to sit on that bench and watch the proceedings of the game. As a rule, if we're on the offense, well, you're trying to figure out plays way ahead of time, who's your third or fourth hitter. And therefore, when the actual moment comes, you're pretty well set to what you're going to do. And when you're on the defense, especially with pitching in the bullpen, you look down there and see if your pitchers are getting warmed up, and you look at the lineup of the opposing team, see who's coming up, who they have on the bench. Just minor things like that that you have to try to be figuring out just before the real important moment comes. And therefore, when that important moment comes, I, myself, try to be ready for it. I don't know whether I am all the time or not, but I really do try to be ready for any important thing that comes up like that.
Well, Al, that's wonderful. You know, that almost brings you back to golf again, doesn't it? If you're in an unplayable lie and you have to make a decision fast, you can't just take all the time you want, but you just don't know what to do with that unplayable lie, so you want to take it out and tee it up and hit it again or what. And I imagine that's the same position you're in. Now we have to come over here to Ewell Blackwell. And Ewell has had a little rest on that little sore arm of his for about 5 or 6 months now. And we're all looking, Ewell, for you to come back here just like me. I'm trying to come back too, and you're going to come back with a sore arm. And I want to ask you a question that I imagine goes through the minds of a lot of people. And I want to know, when you're on that mound, how do you and all of the pitchers feel when you're in a tight spot on that mound out there, especially when there's two out and the bases are
low? Well, Babe, for myself, you get most managers will tell you, I think Al will agree with me, that you're not supposed to get in those spots to start with.
Well, I know, but sometimes they slip up on you.
They sure do. But I think the majority of the pitchers, as you say, in this case, the base is loaded and two outs, you try to make the fellow hit the ball. I mean, the percentage is with you to make him hit the ball. You have seven players behind you. But if you don't get the ball over the plate and you walk him, you walk in a run. And the base on balls will beat you to death.
Well, I know, and it must be pretty hard to figure. Just if you want to throw it easier, if you want to throw it too hard, and if you throw it too hard, you might throw a ball and eventually walk him, or you hope like mad that you might strike him out. That brings us back again to golf, and some of them tee shots you want to hit when the wind's blowing or something. You just don't know exactly what it's going to do. Before we go on, I'd like to tell everybody why the three of us have gotten together. It's to help in the fight against cancer. That is a fight that means something very special to me, because I've had cancer. I know what it means, and I also know I wouldn't be here today if my case hadn't been discovered and treated in time. That's one of the reasons I'm all for the American Cancer Society. A part of their work is educating people about cancer and showing them how important it is to have regular physical examinations and learn cancer's seven danger signals. Those are things I know saved lives. Besides teaching the facts of cancer, the Society's program of research and service are doing great jobs in the battle to win over this disease. Now, I'm not trying to fool myself or you. I know cancer is a tough enemy, but together, all of us, we can make sure it will be beaten. So give as much as you can to your unit of the American Cancer Society. Mail your contribution to cancer, care of your local post office. That's cancer, care of your local post office. Please do it today.
Babe, I'd like to ask you a question now, if you don't mind.
Okay, Al, go right ahead.
Well, since you've been such a great athlete, Babe, I just don't want to put you in a spot and just ask you about golf, because you can tell us about most any kind of sports. You played practically all sports. We'd like to hear from you about your greatest moment in sports.
Well, Al, I think that would... I have a couple of great moments in sports. I think when I finished winning 18 straight tournaments in a row, and my last one being the British amateur champion, and being the first American woman to ever win that British amateur championship. And then my other, which I think may be a little bigger, was my first golf tournament in Houston, Texas. And I remember that I worked hard for 3.5 months to try to see if I couldn't do something different that hadn't been done before, and that win the first tournament that I entered. So I played in Houston in the Texas Amateur Championship, and I came to a hole, and I was playing Peggy Chandler in the finals. And I came to a hole, a par five, and I hit a drive and a 3-iron, and it had been raining, and I hit it into a rut in the right-hand side of the green, and I thought, well, gee, what am I going to do here? And so all the training that I had gotten, just like all the training the baseball players get, you think of those things at the moment. And I said, well, just take a firm grip and take a wedge out and look at it real good and hit it. And I thought, well, maybe if I lose this hole, I might, with my experience, might lose two or three in a row. But I thought of the things that I was taught, and I hit this wedge shot and knocked it into the hole for an eagle three and won the match. I think that was my biggest thrill. And we had about 6,000 people there, and someone hit me and knocked me right down in this rut here. I was running in this ditch of water, actually. And everybody else was hollering and screaming, and then they picked me up and walked me in.
Well, I wish I'd have been there, babe, to see that, because I know that would have been quite a thrill for you.
It was. It certainly was. A real thrill for me. I won that first championship. Blackie, I want to know something from you. I want to hear you tell us about that no-hitter you had.
Well, that was a great thrill for me, babe. I think every pitcher ever starts playing baseball, his idea is pitching a no-hitter in the big leagues. And I happened to do that on my little sister's birthday.
Oh,
it was
how
June 18th, 1947. And, in fact, I didn't know I had a no-hitter until the sixth inning. And, in fact, my roommate at that time, Grady Hatton, he didn't know it when the game was over. He was on his way to the clubhouse, and somebody told him that I pitched a no-hitter. He didn't even know it.
Well, did you feel just wonderful afterwards, Al?
Well, I had two outs in the ninth inning. I had a fellow give me trouble all year. In fact, two or three years before that, Bama Rao, he used to hit me like he owned me. And he came up and had two outs and nobody on. So I figured if I just... It was one of those... muggy nights in Cincinnati, a little foggy. It's hard to see anyway.
Yeah.
And so I just reared back and threw two fastballs, and he foul tipped them both. So I figured he'd be looking for the curveball, so I reared back again to a high.
And he was looking for it?
He was looking for the curveball, and I threw a fastball about eye level. And he swung and missed, and that was it.
Well, I know that I would have certainly been excited if I could have been watching that on television, because I'd have been praying for you to get that last out.
Well, babe, maybe I can ask you a question now. I'd like to know that... You know, played about every sport. I'd like to know, have you tell the people out there just how many you have played?
Well, I haven't played as many sports as a lot of people have read about. The sports writers have been very wonderful to me, and they have written more than I've really played. But I played all the track and field events, and I only did that for a year and a half, you all. And I played basketball, which I think was the game that I liked the best. I played that for 2 years in, top, like in the national tournaments and stuff like that, but I played it all in school. I did quite a bit of fancy diving and swimming, and I played a lot of softball, and I had several no-hitters. It wasn't too hard to get a no-hitter in that. And then one time I had it, and believe it or not, where I counted for 22 runs, and it was in a doubleheader, and I was up 13 times and hit 13 home runs, but you could hit it through the pitcher's box and beat it around before they could get it back in again. So that's about the extent of my athletic career and the different sports that I've been in, only golf, which has been my biggest, and I've been in that for 16 years. And I find out that is the toughest sport that I've ever tried to take up.
Yeah, well, those 22 RBIs, you better get a contract out.
Yes, sir. Maybe if you could hit like that for us, maybe we could beat those Yankees out.
Well, maybe you could send me in, Coach. Well, it looks like it's just about time to bring this session to a close. But before we go, I want to remind everybody about the crusade against cancer. You know, cancer doesn't play any favors. It strikes people in all walks of life. In sports, cancer has taken the lives of such people as Babe Ruth, Jack Delaney, Leo Deagle, and Walter Johnson. It could have taken my life, too, but I was fortunate. My case was discovered and treated in time. Someday, science is going to beat cancer once and for all, but all of us have to help. The way we can help is by supporting the American Cancer Society. So please, give as much as you can to your unit of the American Cancer Society. Name your contribution to cancer. Care of your local post office. Thank you very, very much.
And thank you, Babe Dickinson Zahari. Friends, you've been listening to a special program presented by this station and your unit of the American Cancer Society. This informal discussion has featured Babe Dickinson Zaharias and her guest, Al Lopez, manager of the Cleveland Indians, and Yul Blackwell of the New York Yankees. This is Milton Spencer asking you to remember that cancer strikes 1 in 5. Strike back. Mail your generous contribution to Cancer, care of your local post office. That's Cancer, care of your local post office.